John chapter 2. John's Gospel chapter 2. Verse 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. The Lord has promised to bless to us the reading from his good word. Many lines of truth run throughout John's Gospel. I'm going to give you four very quickly, and then I'm going to speak on the fifth one. As you and I read throughout John's Gospel, you read about the knowledge of the Son of God. Time and again in John's Gospel, you read those words, Jesus knowing. How does John's Gospel begin? He knew all men. How does John's Gospel end? Lord, thou knowest all things. And right throughout the Gospel of John, you read about the knowledge of the Son of God. Christ knows everything in John's Gospel. Another thing to notice in John's Gospel is this. The Lord Jesus is before everything in John's Gospel. John's Gospel chapter 1, he's before John the Baptist. John's Gospel chapter 8, he's before Abraham. John's Gospel chapter 12, he's before Isaiah. Their brother read today from John chapter 17, the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Before this world in which he made, it circuit had begun. Forever was he Son of God, and forever God the Son. Christ is before everything in the Gospel according to John. You know, the Lord Jesus does everything himself in John's Gospel. For example, who raised Christ from the dead? Well, Romans 5 says this, he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. 1 Peter chapter 3 and 18 says this, he was put to death in the flesh, but he was quickened by the Spirit. But when I come to John's Gospel, it's not God that raises Christ from the dead, and it's not the Spirit that raises Christ from the dead. Listen to two verses in John's Gospel. Destroy this body, and in 3 days I will raise it. Listen to John's Gospel. I have power to lay down my life. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. Christ raises himself from the dead in John's Gospel. You know, Christ found the colt himself in John's Gospel. Oh yes, you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and you read this. He sends two disciples, and they find the colt, and they bring the colt to the Lord Jesus, but you never read that in John's Gospel. Turn to John chapter 12, and you'll read a verse like this. Jesus found the colt. And it's Christ that finds the colt in the Gospel according to John. Come again, read the other Gospels. And they compel one Simon, that they might bear the cross before him. But when I come to John's Gospel, I read a verse like this. Jesus went forth bearing the cross for himself. And Christ bears his own cross in the Gospel according to John. You read Matthew's Gospel. The Lord Jesus never leaves the earth in Matthew. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen. And the Lord never leaves earth in Matthew's Gospel. In Mark's Gospel, and in Luke's Gospel, and in the Acts of the Apostles, Christ is either taken up, he's carried up, or he's received up. But I never read that in the Gospel according to John. What do I read in John's Gospel? Listen today to it. I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, unto my God and your God. And in John's Gospel, Christ does everything himself. He raises himself from the dead. He finds the coat. He carries his own cross. And he ascends to heaven by his own power in the Gospel according to John. The fourth thing in John's Gospel is this. You know, Christ is above all in John's Gospel. Listen to one verse from John's Gospel. John's Gospel chapter 3 says this. He that is from above is above all. So there we find four things about the Lord Jesus in the Gospel according to John. Now, the first speaker is always an example, and I don't want to be a bad one. There are two things that run throughout John's Gospel that I want every Christian to get this afternoon, and it's this. Our part, his part. And I'm going to go from John 2. And I'm going to go to John 21. And we're going to notice our part. And we're going to notice his part. Now I have five chapters in mind. We're going to touch John chapter 2, the marriage in Cana of Galilee. We're going to touch that chapter our brother read, Frank read last night. John's Gospel chapter 6. We might look at John's Gospel chapter 9. We might consider John's Gospel chapter 11. And I don't think we'll get to John's Gospel chapter 21. But when I come to those chapters, I discover two things. And it's this. If miracles are going to be wrought, if glory is going to be manifested, if God is going to be glorified, and if need is going to be met, remember, there has to be our part, and there has to be his part. And I'll prove that today from the Bible. Is that not an Old Testament principle? Our part, his part. Let me give you two verses very quickly. You remember 2 Chronicles 7? Listen today to it. If my people, who are called by my name, if they shall pray, if they shall seek me, if they shall turn from their wicked way, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I will heal their land. Have you got the picture? If you and I do our part, God will do His part. Come again. You remember that well-known verse in the book of Malachi? Listen today to it. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me now and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and I'll pour a blessing upon you that you will not be able to receive. The Old Testament principle is this. If you and I do our part, the Lord Jesus will do His part. Now go through those five chapters that I've mentioned very quickly. What's our part in John's Gospel chapter 2? Fill the water pots with water. Bear out unto the governor of the feast. That's our part. What's his part? He has to turn the water into wine. Our part? His part. Come now to John chapter 6. What's our part? Make the multitude sit down. Gather up the fragments that nothing be lost. That's our part. What's the Lord's part? Feeding the 5,000 with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Come to John chapter 9. What's our part? You remember what the man that was blind had to do? Go to the pool of Siloam. That was his part. What was the Lord's part? Giving that blind man his sight. Come to John chapter 11. What is our part in John chapter 11? Listen to 2 things very quickly. You and I have to roll away the stone. You and I have to loose him and let him go. That's our part. What's the Lord's part in John chapter 11? He's to raise Lazarus from the dead. Come to John chapter 21. What is our part in John chapter 21? Cast the net on the right side of the ship. What's his part? 153 great fishes. Now let me say 2 things today very quickly. the Lord will not do for us what we can do for ourselves. But you mark my words. The Lord will do for us what you and I cannot do for ourselves. Now let's think of John chapter 2. Let's think of John chapter 6. Because they did their part, and because the Lord did His part, what was the outcome in John chapter 6? A need was met. The Son of God was glorified. And the disciples believed in Him. Let's stop for one moment. Did those disciples not believe in Him? They certainly did, but get my word this afternoon. They saw the presence of Christ. They saw the power of Christ. And I believe their faith was greater. I believe their faith was richer. Why? Because they saw the power of Christ manifested. Let's come to John chapter 6 very quickly. You know, you have three men in John chapter 6. And I want you to notice them. I want you to think about Philip. And I want you to think about Andrew. And I want you to think about the Lord Jesus. Now, what is Philip taken up with? Philip is taken up with the vastness of the crowd. Listen today to the words of Philip. 200 pennyworth is not sufficient that each one might receive a little. Philip is taken up with the vastness of the crowd. Let's come to Andrew. You know, Andrew's taken up with two things. Andrew's taken up with the scarceness of the supply. And he's taken up with the vastness of the crowd. Listen to the words of Andrew. There's a lad here. And he has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are these among so many? He's taken up with the scarceness of the supply, and he's taken up with the vastness of the multitude. You know, Andrew's like many of us preachers. You remember what Peter did? Peter spoke too long and he spoiled his ministry. You remember what Peter said? Listen to the words of Peter. He's on the Mount of Transfiguration. It is good for us to be here. You know, if Peter had just stopped there, nothing wrong with that ministry. But you know, he goes on. Let us make 3 tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. And Peter puts the Lord Jesus on the same platform as Moses and Elijah. And Peter spoiled his ministry. Listen today to the words of Andrew. There is a lad here. He has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. You know, if Andrew had just stopped there, that would have been good. But listen to his language. What are these among so many? You remember the contrast between 2 Kings 4 and John chapter 6. There's no heads nodding anyway. What's the difference between 2 Kings chapter 4 and John chapter 6? How many loaves do you read about in 2 Kings 4? And I got this from my brother-in-law this morning. 20 loaves. How many men are in 2 Kings 4? 100 men. And here's a man brings 20 loaves. And he's to feed 100 men. And he says to himself, what's 20 loaves to feed 100 men? Naturally speaking, impossible. But come to John chapter 6. Not now 100 men, but 5,000 men. And not now 20 loaves, but 5 barley loaves, and they're barley loaves, remember, and 2 small fishes. And the need is met. My closing words to you today is this. Much is little if God is not in it. But remember, little is much if God is in it. And Philip's trouble was this. He missed Christ in his calculation. 200 pennyworths of bread is not sufficient that each might receive a little.